Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind, and before. You have laid your hand upon me, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You may remember back in 1977, although a couple of you probably weren't born then. But anyway, the space program launched two unmanned spaceships, Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. And the purpose of that exploration was to go to the outer planets of the solar system, see what was out there. It took them 40 years to get to Neptune. And that's when they briefly turned the cameras in Voyager 1 back home on Earth, and they took a picture of the Earth. When the scientists looked at those photos of the Earth, all they could see was an almost imperceptible, tiny, tiny, very tiny blue dot that was the Earth. You could easily miss it if you didn't know what you were looking for. And you know, if we try to visualize this tiny blue dot that we live on compared to the vastness of the universe, it's easy for us to ask God, as the psalmist did back in Psalm 8, many years, 3,000 years ago, as a matter of fact, what is man that you are mindful of him? And I think we may find that answer as we consider tonight's scripture. And the part that I'm going to emphasize is that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I could remember as a child lying on the grass on a warm summer evening and looking up at the heavens and trying to comprehend a God that created all that. And then as I got a little older, I was introduced to the process of photosynthesis. You may remember some of that elementary science that you learned, but I thought that was a pretty neat thing that God did. You know, we as human beings, we breathe in oxygen and we breathe out carbon dioxide, and all the green plants and the green trees, they take in the carbon dioxide and give out oxygen. And I thought, God really knew what he was doing when he arranged that. And I think what it is, it's a beautiful example of the unity and the interdependence we have with all life, not just human life, but all of nature and all of God's creation. My perspective broadened a little bit. After college, we were required to take this course called The Science of Health. And I could say that almost everyone in that class, almost to a person, thought, ho-hum, oh boy, what a boring class. But, you know, I was the weirdo. I loved it. I loved every bit of it. And I think what it did, it whetted my appetite to learn more and more about our bodies and understand how we're put together. And there are so many things that are going on in our bodies all the time. We take them for granted, unless something goes wrong with them, and then we're very much aware of them. And there's that wrinkled bit of grayish white blob up here in our heads. It's called the brain. It has the consistency of jello, they say, and it weighs less than 3 pounds. And yet that brain is the most powerful supercomputer that anything, it's just more powerful than anything we can imagine. And that blob of matter is a command center of our life. There's a network of nerves that's 30,000 miles long. Conceive that? Oh, I can't. And there are neurons firing constantly, all the time, making it possible for us to live. And you know, they say that if we could build a supercomputer that was capable of making 400 million calculations every minute, no, every second, if we could make 400 million calculations a second, that computer would have to work 24/7 for almost 100 years to do what our brain can do in 1 minute. Truly, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the thing is that we keep on learning more and more about the human body. About 10 years ago, I was introduced to a book written by Francis Collins. It was called The Language of God. Francis Collins was in charge of the Human Genome Project, and their goal was to map the entire human genome. It was an international effort. There were 2,000 scientists working in 20 centers in 6 different countries, working to map the human genome. It took them 10 years to complete that. And now, you know, in our everyday conversation, we talk about the DNA. Even Pastor Dave, in his message yesterday, he mentioned DNA 3 different times. I don't know if you noticed that, but I noticed it. And it's just very, very much a part of our everyday life. And yet, how beautiful and how wonderful and just magnificent it is. To think that scientists can learn to identify the genes that could cause specific diseases and then could come up with a treatment that they could maybe transmit into the human body through the immune system. And they're doing that. They have been doing that already in some elementary ways and some very specific ways. And, you know, if you want to spend $100, you could even give your DNA to a company and they will, they'll find out all about your ethnic ancestry for you, all based on your DNA. So what these scientists are doing is discovering the very language by which God spoke life into being. And so many times I think we hear that scientists are atheists, and there are many of them who are. And, you know, as they learn more about the universe, they say, look what we have done, and look what we have found out, look what we can prove with the data that we have, and all that sort of thing. But all they have really done in what they're doing is unraveled some of the mysteries of what God created in the first place. And they've been able to do it because of the amazing brains that God gave them to work with. And it's interesting fact that this Francis Collins, who wrote this book, The Language of God, he was kind of teetering on between being an atheist and a believer at the beginning of the project. By the end of the project, he was a total believer. I can't remember when I was first introduced to Psalm 139, but it definitely is my favorite psalm. I think those verses that I mentioned, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, it actually influenced my choice of a career in health and physical education. And it kind of maintained my lifelong interest in it. I like what St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If I'm God's temple, then it's my responsibility to take good care of that temple. So back to this question, what is man that you are mindful of him? Well, I like to credit my good friend Linda Horvath for this insight. A few weeks ago in our psalm study, she's the leader of a psalm study that we have on Wednesday mornings, and she was sharing with our group something that she was realizing about many, many places in the Psalms. It says that God delights in us. And to me, it's a very simple and profound explanation of what is man that you are mindful of him. Because if God is delighting in his creation, he's delighting in you and me as human beings and in his nature. And if you really think about that word delights, it really accounts for our being fearfully and wonderfully made. It's something that we need to recognize, that it's all about a relationship that we have with our Creator. It's a two-way street, an equation, so to speak, that God delights in us, the creation, and we, in turn, he wants us to delight in him, our Creator. And the thing is, we should be finding real joy, real delight in every day in serving and worshiping our Creator. And I think we need to ask ourselves, are we doing that? About 35 years ago, I attended a woman's retreat during which the leader asked us each to select some favorite verses in the Bible and then put it all in our own words. And I, of course, chose Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. And I'd like to share with you as I finish speaking, but I said in my own words, and I highly recommend this as something you might want to try doing sometime. Take some favorite verses in the Bible and put it in your own words and see what comes of it. To me, it was very meaningful. Oh God, how magnificent is your creation. Within my body, you have created miracle upon miracle. How is it that I am able to send commands to my feet to walk, to run, to skip, to hop, or to my fingers to hold a pen and write, or touch the keys of a computer keyboard, or play melodies on an instrument? What magnificence there is in my brain, that thousands of messages can be relayed in seconds, that I can think, that I can visualize, that I can organize thoughts and actions. You have designed my heart to beat regularly, my lungs to breathe continuously, my stomach to receive food that is translated into energy without any encouragement from me. Within myself is the microcosm of the universe you created. I can sing. What a precious gift. I can be aware of myself as an individual and yet aware of other humans and the myriad aspects of your bountiful creation. God, how do you do it? It's incomprehensible. All I can do, as your child has said, say, glory, glory, glory. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, bless your holy name and bless your love of all creation. A love that I need to delight in. And you and I need to do that all the time. For he delights in us so much and values us so much that he sent his son to bring salvation to us and everlasting life. You can't beat that.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and loving sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. At this church, we practice open communion. This means that all at worship are invited to partake. You do not have to be a member of this church or of any church to take communion this evening. The table of Holy Communion is Christ's table. The table is open to anyone who seeks to respond to Christ's love and seeks to lead a new life of peace and love. We will be taking communion by intinction. When you come, you will be given a piece of bread. You are asked to dip the bread in the cup and receive both elements at once. We have gluten-free options also. Christ's table is waiting. Come when you are ready.